That was Mike Vrabel down at Gillette Stadium today, his press conference. And that was in reference to, that answer was in reference to a question, not specifically by name, about Kendrick Bourne and Marcus Epps, guys asking to be released, but clearly the reference was to guys asking for the release. And today that was Kendrick Bourne. They granted that release. Ted Johnson, face.
What can you, it would, can you imagine guys going to Bill Belichick and saying, you know what, Bill, can you just release me? Sure, sure, no problem. Here, let me just comment.
Anything else you want?
Yeah, I just, wow. It's amazing to me that their final roster, actually two guys are gone now.
Yeah.
From the 53-man original roster.
So we're down to 51.
That's crazy.
Dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's I do find it interesting, and
it's a little bit of an inauspicious start to the season, I would say.
Yes, and for him to sort of make the illusion, and I get it, you know, the old "you can't fire me, I quit" kind of thing. Who really wanted out? Did they both want out? But you're right, two guys from the 53-man roster, not on the 53-man roster now, in part because they wanted out of town. Is that a bad sign? I don't know. You know, because I did say that I thought Kendrick Bourne being here was a sign that they're keeping their best players. Because I still think he's one of your best players. I think if you went 1-53 and ranked him, Kendrick Bourne, given his experience and everything, if healthy, and the reports are he is indeed healthy, he can go to San Francisco and probably start playing. I think he's one of your best players. So, but it didn't work out.
He's definitely better than your ninth offensive lineman.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. So, I don't know. Fitzy, does this bother you that guys are asking out, asking off the boat? They don't want to be here anymore.
No, I see what you're saying is in they see a sinking ship or a distress signal has been sent out internally, so they feel like they need to bail while the getting is good. I think they just don't see the kind of future they envision for themselves. Kendrick Bourne probably sees a much grander role in a Minnesota with the 49ers or Cardinals or multiple other teams as opposed to being wide receiver five in New England.
It's just, I'm curious, though. I don't know what his salary is, but does ask
six
for
million?
Does he think he's going to get $6 million?
Well, no. I think that would be part of it because if they wanted to pay him, they would have traded for him, right? Like then they would just take out the middleman, not have any have to fight for him, right? The 49ers really wanted him; they would trade for the salary.
It's just a risk for Kendrick Bourne to say, "Hey, trade me," and to assume you're going to get $6 million, somewhere else.
Maybe he just wanted out. Maybe he realized I'm not going to get the opportunities,
or he felt like he was going to get cut eventually and might as well just get it done now.
Kinda. Probably, which is what I thought. I thought there was a chance you were kind of keeping him around as insurance to make sure Diggs can play. Yep. All right, you get to week two and Diggs is out on the field for 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay, he's here. Yep. And then maybe, you know, your boy Efton Chisholm, Fitzy. Oh, okay, you know what? He can compete. Maybe he's not Wes Welker, but he can compete. Bourne, you're the odd man out. We just wanted to keep you around just in case something went sideways with a couple of guys. So there's probably some truth to that. Or just flat out that he's buried. Because everybody in the world knew he was like the seventh or eighth receiver on the depth chart. Go somewhere. If you're going to be buried on a better team, right? To be buried on a team that Ted Johnson just downgraded from a 10 win to an 8 win, who knows?
But to Fitzy's point, I think he's right. I just, it's hard for me to believe that these guys are saying, you know, this is a sinking ship on one out. I feel like guys don't care. They care about their own personal role first and foremost, and then the team second. So it's really they don't like their roles, not that they think this is a sinking ship, is my guess.
And Fitzy, he might think he's better, and he might be, but he might think he's better than Mac Collins. He might think he's better than, you know, Booty, whoever, all these guys.
Mm-hmm. And Kayshon Booty, probably not Pop Douglas, but he thinks he probably deserves a wide receiver type three role. And unfortunately, given the fact that he took longer to recover from the ACL than a Steph Diggs, and he was beset by a camp injury, he just didn't get a chance to showcase and show out, so off he goes. I just think it's crazy that a guy like Kendrick Bourne, who we all believe can contribute to another team, leaves town with zero compensation.
Yeah, and he's been a little snake-bitten here, too. That might be part of it. You know, after the first year with injuries, and remember he was in the doghouse with Patricia, right? Wasn't Patricia mad at him for something in 2022?
So some people thought it was the Carolina training camp joint practice fight, but I think he just didn't buy into Patricia's offense at all.
Oh, they were anybody that was talking behind the scenes, they were. You know, because that's that coaching staff. They're paranoid.
Right.
So Jacoby Myers out. Kinderborn out.
Right. So he kind of, after that good first year, he was kind of snake bitten here between, you know, being in the doghouse, being injured, different things, even right to this year. Maybe this plays out differently if he doesn't get hurt this summer, right? Maybe he has a great training camp and now he's in a role where he's like one of the top two or three receivers and he likes it here and he sees where it's going and maybe he doesn't ask. But I don't know. I don't think you're going to necessarily be a different team because you cut Kendrick Bourne.
I agree. I did like his energy, though.
Yeah.
I thought he was, if he's a guy, you know, that kind of lifted the moods and it was energy and positive on a team for the last few years that didn't have much to be positive about. And I just thought it was a good influence on the rest of the guys.
Ted, what do you think about this text, the 413? Patriots are better off without guys who aren't honored to be part of the New England Patriots.
Yikes. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
These are independent contractors. They're hired mercenaries, first and foremost, and they care about making theirs and getting theirs and taking care of their family first and then family second.
Yeah.
Sorry, you would be the same way, Texter,
if
you were on a team.
I think your boy Ty Law once put it in a press conference, I'm Ty Law, president and CEO of Ty Law, Inc.
That's it.
That's my role here. You know, doesn't mean he can't be a team player. And even Vrabel brought that up at one point. Remember he had the press conference where he said, you know, like, guys want to do well for themselves so that they can make money, but they also have to do well for the team.
But it's that kind of thinking, and I think this got in the Patriots in trouble. I think they thought they were better than that. Everybody wants to come play for the Patriots. Who doesn't want to six, you know, world, you know, Super Bowl titles? Tom Brady's not here anymore, and you guys don't pay. No thanks.
You want me to list the guys? Was that a rhetorical question, or did you want to go down
ahead,
like the Brandon Ayuk road and guys like that?
To you, bub.
Right, like all these guys, DK Metcalf, like even back in the day, remember Matthew Stafford left, and there was like, well, part of his do not trade list was the Patriots. Like
my man down in Tampa Bay, that took $10 million.
Way less money to stay in Tampa Bay.
Chris Godwin.
So, there's a long list of guys that didn't want to come play for the New England Patriots of late, and just for the honor of being part of the New England Patriots. Fitzy, are you like Ted? I don't want to do all total season predictions right here, but Ted, I just think in his 3-point stance said something pretty interesting. I think he was pretty optimistic a month and a half ago, whenever that was, heading into camp. And now he has downgraded at least 2 wins, and just the tone of how he sees this team, the lack of depth, the lack of talent. Are you going down that same road?
Ted's gotten in the Ted Mobile and is driving
by himself
he's driving himself. It's not autonomous. He's stepping on the gas all the way down from 10 to 8. I'm driving. I'm cruising there as well. I think I'm somewhere in the 9 to 8.5 range now. I think I'm firmly in the camp of if this team goes 8 and 9 and they're, like I've said many a time, and they're in a lot of these games, and Drake May looks like he's your quarterback of the future, and you make the fans proud, that's a hell of a season. They don't need to win 11 games. Like, I think we need to pump the brakes on. Let's just start by pumping the brakes on the playoff talk first. Maybe they do finish 9-8. Holy smokes, that would be incredible.
It's funny, though. I mean, you listen to Devin McCourty thinks this is a playoff team. Everyone, Nick Wright thinks it's a playoff team. Colin Coward thinks it's a playoff team. Chris Sims thinks it's a playoff team. And it's like, and not even do they think of their playoff, it's going to be the best rebounding team. It's like a top 5 defense? I mean, Devin McCourty thinks it's a top 5 defense. I think he's out of his mind.
And that's the most interesting one to me, because the other guys, Nick Wright, Colin Cowherd, Chris Sims, those are national guys that maybe haven't been following every detail of the summer, every up and down and training camp. Devin McCourty
did they
the
know
preseason.
That Gonzo's in sweats again today, Andy?
Right. Like, they don't know details of this. They're still in a month and a half ago off-season mode, won the offseason, won the draft.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty did the preseason.
I'm
games.
Like, bro.
He's very prepared.
What am I missing?
Yeah.
Top 5 defense.
Now, you could argue he did the preseason games. Maybe he's once a Patriot, always Patriot, close, inside the building kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, you're not missing anything. In fact, you've come to my welcome to my side of the street where this roster's
so
a little
genius
thin.
Genius walks in
now with the big Ted next to him. That's right. We're arm in arm as we head towards a season that might not be as optimistic as some of us once thought. But I also don't believe this is any less interesting a football team.
Oh gosh, no.
Like just because they may not win 10 games, may win 8, or may not win 8, may win 6. They're going to be really interesting.
No doubt.
The storylines, the stars that evolve and develop, the stars that don't evolve and develop. Like, 17 weeks of interest. They will be interested, well, as long as Drake May stays healthy. If we start watching a lot of backup quarterbacks because of injuries, that's not always that fun. And speaking of backup quarterbacks, and if you didn't hear, not only is Kendrick Bourne gone, but Tommy DeVito was claimed by the New England Patriots. And Ted Johnson is excited about that. We touched off that at the top of the show real quick about that. But, Ted, explain why you think it's just not a massive big deal or a really good thing, but why it's a good thing that Tommy DeVito was claimed.
I just was worried about our depth. I just Josh Dobbs does not blow my skirt up and get me too excited, and I think he's too inconsistent. And I feel like that's going to be an important position to have some depth with. And so I was a little bit – I thought Woolridge actually might – make the team. I was a little surprised, and so
he petered out.
I think they upgraded, obviously, that third spot. It's I just think it's something you got to have a little bit more depth at, and so now they got it. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out if you know Drake May gets injured, because I think that's on the table with this offensive line.
Yeah, but God forbid we don't. Knock on hopefully, wood. Yep. Knock on wood. Boom, boom. Yeah. Like John Gruden says, Fitzy.
Yeah, I mean, is there any chance Cutlets leapfrogs Dobbs? Because
yes.
I had a chance
yes.
to pull the whole Gridiron gang together last night for a roster cutdown podcast on Six Rings. And I got to tell you, like, the majority of our fellow employees at WEEI consider Josh Dobbs' poor performance this preseason almost as concerning as the offensive line.
Yeah, see, I don't put it there because I think almost every team in the NFL, if you go to your backup quarterback, the season's over. You went to your back. The one where, like, if you have a young guy, like Jackson Dart, he's technically the backup quarterback.
Right.
But you could turn to him in week three, and it might be the best thing that ever happened to you, your first-round pick. But most teams, if they have to go to their backup, the season's already off the rails.
But if there's the time to talk about backup quarterbacks is right now.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And when the season starts, then who cares? But if you're ever going to give that position a look-see, it's right now.
And don't those guys, Ted, do they play some role in preparation for the defense?
Yes.
So
yes.
if the guy stinks, that's not helping the defense at all, right?
Correct.
So
correct.
You'd want a better backup quarterback, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing on the practice field. So
it is interesting, though. Tommy DeVito maybe thinks he should be playing. I mean, he's had some success.
Uh-oh.
The runway not so clear anymore.
Not clear. Look at this runway. There's bumps
some debris.
On it.
There's debris. There's some,
looks like Lightning McQueen paved this thing. It's bumpy all around with Tommy DeVito in town. 617-779-7937. How do you feel about the Patriots roster that's coming together? Kendrick Bourne gone. Javon Baker gone. Tommy DeVito in town, three quarterbacks on the roster now. We'll keep you up to date. The practice squad also coming together quite nicely. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, and by the way, stick around for about 45 minutes at 4:30. Former Colorado Buffalo, former New England Patriot, and current college football analyst Chad Brown will be joining us. Now, why are we talking to Chad Brown? Because on Monday night, he'll be broadcasting here on WEEI the Bill Belichick debut at UNC. That's UNC-TCU Monday night, Labor Day. Chad Brown will be doing that game. He'll talk about it in about 45 minutes from now from WEEI Afternoons. Up next, though, we got to get into a little Jordan. Yes, Bill Belichick and Jordan, they're back in the news. No, we're not forcing anything. All we do is tell you the stories that come across our wire. And today is one you won't believe. Something that a lot of us have called Jordan, well, she wants to take ownership of. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.